I'm Chris McAdoo, and this is Enjoyable Listen Time with Best Behavior, where we talk to people who make things and make things happen. And, with any luck, inspire you to do the same.
Good there time. We go. Is this good?
Yeah.
All right. So, are we recording?
Yep.
Oh, well, good. We're already recording. So, welcome everybody out there to our second podcast. We are very happy to be coming to you today from internet land. My name is Chris McAdoo with Best Behavior. I've got George Middlebrooks here with me holding down the producing duties and duties. And I've got really, really excited to have Dale Mackey and Sean Pointer with us today. Now, Dale of Dale's Fried Pies and Sean Pointer of Sean Pointer Photography. But together, Voltron style, they come together to form the Central Collective, an awesome multi-use space on Central Avenue in the Happy Holler District of Knoxville. And we're going to be talking to them today about fried pies, photography, and good sport nights. Good sports night?
Good sport nights.
Good sports.
I think it's goods, sport, nights.
Goods, it'll work.
Doesn't matter.
So we're going to start off with Dale. Dale,
yeah.
Talk to me about where you came from, what brought you to Knoxville, and tell us just a little bit about Dale's Fried Pies and kind of what you've been up to on that side of your life.
I moved to Knoxville in 2008 for a guy named Sean. Hey, he's right there. That's my husband. We had been dating for a little bit, and I was either going to move to Chicago or move to Knoxville. I'm from Chicago originally. And I said, all right, well, I'll apply for jobs in both places, and we'll just kind of see where the cards fall, and ended up getting a job here. So moved here. I told Sean I will live here for, you know, a year or so, prove to you I'm serious, but then I really want to move back to Chicago. And he said, okay. Maybe. And then 6 months after I moved here, I realized I didn't want to leave and haven't wanted to leave since.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We're glad that you stuck around Knoxville.
Me too. I'm very glad.
Tell us a little bit about, so you came here for a nonprofit, and then a lot of people will know you from Dale's Fried Pies. Mm-hmm. I guess kind of tell us your that sort of journey.
Yeah, I always was interested in starting my own business, and I had worked for a nonprofit here locally and just sort of felt ready to try something new. And so I started really on the side. I started as small as I possibly could, built like an adult-sized lemonade stand. Actually, mostly Sean and his dad built it, but I helped and painted it. Rolled it to the farmer's market, sold pies on the weekends. And, you know, it kind of grew organically. I think I started the business with $400 investment in the wood and the paint and stuff like that. Martha Boggs, who runs the bistro, was kind enough to let me use her kitchen. And so just sort of really, you know, scrappy little start. And organically it grew until it became my full-time job in 2013. And I've been chugging along ever since. Now I've got my own kitchen and a little trailer. I mail order them across the United States, and it's always grown kind of slowly but steadily.
That's awesome. So if somebody does want to order a fried pie, mm-hmm. where do they go?
DalesFriedPies.com.
DalesFriedPies.com?
DalesFriedPies.com.
Easy enough. DalesFriedPies.com? That's awesome. Well, thank you for kind of letting us in. And I love the idea of the adult-sized lemonade stand.
Yeah, it's fun. I still have it.
Now it's an adult-sized advice stand, really cheap advice. You can come by. And I man it mostly. It's mostly just me. Like
we
bucks.
Should use it for that.
It's not like Sean's, it's like, but it's only kind of good, or it's just advice.
Well, it's like cheap advice. I mean, you get what you pay for.
Lucy Van Pelt.
Yeah, exactly. Psychiatrist is in. Yeah. Mostly love advice. Relationships.
Come by to get love advice from Sean. Well, who has obviously done quite well for himself, because you guys have been married since
2012.
Look at that.
Yeah.
2012.
Mm-hmm. Almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
So you did.
Killing it.
Halfway there.
There you go. High fives. All
That's awesome. get a solid decade in and
yeah.
see what happens.
High fives. It's all we can hope for. High fives all around. Well, Sean, tell us a little bit about where, kind of where you came from and what led you here.
Oh, man. Well, I came from a land up north, Kentucky. Moved here in 2006, I think. I'm pretty sure. And then I followed a girl that wasn't Dale here. But, you know, that's been covered already. That's
secrets.
Yeah.
What?
Spoiler. But yeah, you know, I've been photographing. I went to school, went to college for photojournalism, so I've been bouncing papers for 10 years, different papers or freelance gigs, and now at the studio I can do more products and portraits and pet boudoir pictures, whatever kind of comes up and is interesting for me. So,
well, speaking of pet boudoir,
yeah.
God, I've always wanted to say that. I would like to mention, for those of you who don't know, Sean, your work has been published, or you've been featured in the New York Times.
Washington Post recently. Mm-hmm.
Yep, first time there. Various, you know, Wall Street Journal, magazines, randomly, people's homes.
Just leaving photos
product
in
catalog.
People's
yeah. Different websites. Yeah, sorry, I'll take a gift over to people's houses and nice. Hide it before I leave in their bathroom
like a,
somewhere.
Like a, just a tall Santa. But yeah, Sean has been featured basically in all of the biggest, you know, kind of magazines. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, only the best. Only the best. Yeah.
Only
that's
the
right.
best.
That's right.
He's good to have around. Well, thanks for kind of the short
yeah.
synopsis there. And if somebody does want to learn more about your photography, where do they go?
SeanPoynter.com. That's SHAWN and then POYNTER. It's like kind of two tricky spellings in a row, but
SeanPoynter.com.
That's right.
You probably Google your name too, yep. and it'll come up.
PoynterPetBoudoir.com. You can go there too, probably. By the time this airs, you can go there.
You should. I should he's get literally that right now buying that website on his cell phone while he's talking.
Yeah.
So, you kind of spoke about the studio, and that's where we're going next. The home of the original Pet Boudoir photography and community building, the Central Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Located here on Central Avenue in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Happy Holler mm-hmm. District. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Our club rule number two is this week, and club rule number two is no pleated pants.
No pleated pants.
I don't have anything against actual, well, I don't wear them, you know,
right.
but pleated pants.
Right.
But it's all about staying creative, staying a little weird, being open to new things, and allowing creative things to happen and allowing opportunities to happen. And I think that the Central Collective is probably one of the coolest things that's happened to Knoxville in several years. And I would love for you guys to just kind of tell me, one, tell the people out there literally what is it, and then two, how and why did the Central Collective come to be?
Cool.
And thank you. That's a good compliment.
Yeah, that is a very nice compliment.
I'll tell you what it is, literally, if you want. It's a building. It's actually on Central Street, which is a weird, Central Avenue is kind of north of here, which is really weird. It kind of morphs into Avenue. So Central Street, it's weird.
Nitpicky.
It's nitpicky. But, it's a building. It's an old building. It used to be a car audio repair shop a long time ago. Before that, it was a scuba center. So they'd sell like scuba.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
There was apparently enough people looking for scuba wow. equipment in the 60s in Knoxville to warrant a store.
A scuba is, center.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Like a weird scuba place.
Hey so, man, if that's your bag, scuba
yeah.
scuba on.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's a building and it's basically three parts. Upstairs it's an office space we rent out. Down here is a studio on one side and Dale's kitchen on one side. And we open the doors, the middle door here, and the bottom becomes one big kind of event space or party / workshop space.
And how big is the downstairs here?
It's about 1,200 square feet, probably. Upstairs is probably 600-ish square feet. So,
cool.
Yeah, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's the literal exactly
that's
what it.
It
is.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah. I know you guys, I want to hear a little bit about the story of so much of what we talk to people about and what we hear are people that have a vision and go through what is necessary to achieve that vision, to see that goal through, which is not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you guys look at an abandoned scuba diving center, essentially, on Central Street and think to yourselves, man, that could really be something. That could really be something cool for us and for the community.
Well, it really started, I needed a kitchen, and Sean needed a studio. And it was kind of just, you know, that simple. As we were looking at spaces, you know, we realized that there were all these other things that we were interested in that weren't necessarily part of our jobs. Like, you know, we do First Friday art shows here. You know, we're both great appreciators of art. We do pop-up dinners. We like eating. We have different workshops, you know, everything from candle making to cheese making. So we kind of realized, you know, if we're going to have this space anyway, like, let's use all of the buffalo. Like, let's just try to get as much happening in here as possible, and let's use it as a way for us to, one, explore things that we're interested in, and now we have an excuse to do it and a place to do it, and two, see what other people are looking for. So I would say, you know, probably half of the things that we do aren't ideas that we have. They're ideas that other people come to with us, you know, come to us with, and we figure out how to make them happen. I would say, yeah, probably half of the programming is stuff that we do in-house, but a lot of it is us more, you know, providing a platform for other people to share their skills or ideas, things like that.
And also, not like a literal buffalo. We've never really...
But not, we might.
Ponies.
We have had, yeah. We all know
the ponies.
Yeah, yeah, we do. They were great.
Yeah, that was part of my favorite event that we do here in the space. It's called Good Sport Night, and it's a monthly mystery event where people buy tickets and show up at the designated time and place, but they don't know what they're doing until they get here. And I think I said it's called Good Sport Night because everyone who comes is a very good sport. We had a fundraiser for Shangri-La Therapeutic Academy of Riding. That's why we had the mini horse and mini donkey. We've had swing lessons with a live swing band. We had historian Jack Neely do a walking tour of the area.
Mm-hmm. A wedding.
We had an actual wedding. Two people who had come to a previous Good Sport Night were going to elope, but they decided it'd be more fun to just have a bunch of strangers at their wedding. So we randomly selected the bridal party and the groomsmen, and I got to officiate, which was a real honor. We had a live band and did all the normal wedding stuff, and people had a really great time.
I don't mind spoiling next month's real quick and just saying,
hey,
it's going to be a surprise divorce. And so,
terrible.
Two people who come, they must get separated at the
do you biggest just pick sport, two man. People, just like a couple.
It's kind of random, yeah.
Yeah.
The happiest looking ones.
Just, sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Sorry.
It's in the paperwork.
Yeah, you didn't realize when you clicked agree to the terms of service what
read,
you were
you
agreeing
your,
to.
The fine print.
Your EULA. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
There you go. It'll get you every time. Well, all right. So to back up a little bit, so there's all these incredibly, incredibly cool things going on at the Central Collective that I want to get more into. But what, I guess one thing that would, I think people out there that see essentially like a burned out old scuba center, there's not everybody that's going to see that potential, right? Of what it could be and how it could, you know, come to be.
Right.
What was the process that you guys saw this property? And then what happened after that?
I think, well, first, to take a step back, when I was in high school, my dad bought this really old, like 100-year-old dilapidated house and spent like 4 years, every night after his, you know, his daytime job, just like in there, gutting it, fixing it up, figuring out how to make it, you know, not condemned. Is that a weird word?
Yeah.
Condemned.
Condemnable.
Condemnable. Yeah. So anyway, I saw this process early on. I was like, oh, you can make a real turd into a
beautiful
slightly
diamond.
Yeah, a turd diamond. And so I kind of have that appreciation.
Polish.
You can polish a turd.
You
it's
can,
still,
actually.
It's still a turd sometimes, but you can't polish a turd. This is not a turd anymore.
No.
We morphed it, I think, into a diamond.
Yeah.
Just a normal.
But anyway, that's a little background, like how you know, for me at least, like to see this, you know, beauty in something so ugly. And then, you know, once we were looking, our friend who just looks at all kind of properties called me one day. He's like, "Oh, there's this property on Central, and it's, you know, foreclosure. It's off the road." So I'd never seen it before. I'd never noticed it before, even though I pass through here all the time. But so really, it was just cheap. That's why we got it. It was really cheap.
To buy.
And then we started figuring out.
Then we started renovating it.
Yeah, it kind of like, you know, maybe jumped in too quickly. But, you know, hindsight is one thing.
I remember saying to Sean, if we knew how crazy this is going to be, we wouldn't do this.
Right.
But we're going to do it because we don't know.
Yeah.
And that was totally true. Yeah. And I'm so happy we didn't know, because I'm so happy we have this place. And I really don't know if we would have realized how hard it was going to be and how stressed we were going to be at some points during the process if we would have done it. I don't know if we would have, but yay, we did. We're on the other side of it.
Ignorance, man. It's
it really can be great. I think it can be a really great thing for getting things done or for, you know, doing a project, because if you knew, it is worth it. But when you're in the pre-stages, you don't always realize that very real pain is going to be worth the very real amazing outcome. So if you kind of just don't know, it's easier to just jump in.
Yeah, and plus, once you're in it, you gotta figure it out. Like you
exactly,
can't, you can't back your way out of that of some things, right? So you gotta just like make it happen.
Yes, exactly.
Well, there's no other, you know, choice if you're gonna learn how to do something than to do it.
Yeah, there, and you know, you can talk to people about their experiences rehabbing an old building, or working with contractors, or, you know, starting a business, but it's never gonna totally prepare you for what that actually looks like, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, for you guys, it shows that this particular area, in the quotes, Happy Holler community, is an up and coming, you know, kind of place, but it means that, you can take something that has been abandoned. You can, quote unquote, polish that turd and change it into a real diamond. That'll be the pull quote.
A brown diamond.
Oh, no.
You're going to edit this, right?
Cut some stuff out. Not now. No, it's too late. This is unedited. But I think that's just a really cool thing and something that I think any person, if they're a business person, if they're an entrepreneur, if they are a creative person, again, getting back to, there is no substitute for just doing the thing.
Right.
Right. I mean, so if you want to see what happens, you know, I think we have, you know, if you want to be a painter, go paint.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to take photos, go take photos.
Right.
So there's only so much studying. There's only so much studying that you can do and fretting and worrying.
Right.
So when you guys sort of pulled the trigger and said, like, all right, this is our abandoned scuba center, let's make something amazing out of it. When was that, and how long did it take to get to sort of ready to move in?
I think it was 3 years, maybe. We bought it, and then we kind
it was
of...
2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5.
We didn't, like, we bought it, and for a while we were kind of doing some demo on our own and sort of figuring out the layout and all of that kind of thing. But when we actually started building, I think
from then, from the actual start to plan get the plans made and work with the people, the architects and stuff, it was like 2 years. So half a year to kind of fool around ourselves and figure it out and, like, get ready to start planning it, sort of, and to get our mind, you know, around it, was probably half a year and 2 years more to open.
Yeah, from actually sitting down and meeting, our first meeting was with the Community Design Center of Knoxville. We got a facade grant, so they helped fund the work that, or the parts of the building that you can see from the street. And through that, we were hooked up with the Community Design Center. And so we actually designed the facade before we ever designed the inside. And our architect, just shout out to Rick Mixon, he got it. Like, he looked at this place and he didn't think we were totally nuts like a lot of people
did. He was the first one to not
think we were nuts. You could see the beauty in it. And, you know, we kind of talked to him a little bit about our style and what we were looking for, but it was his idea to do corrugated metal on the outside of the building. It was his idea to kind of do that cantilever. Is that what that's called?
Sure.
I don't know. Cantilevered second floor. He really got it and made it this really cool kind of modern, mm-hmm. paying homage to the, you know, scruffiness of the space, but being really clean. And so I think that was the first time we were like, oh my God, this is really going to happen.
Yeah,
you know, seeing, right. seeing like that he could see what we yeah. saw too.
Our first like validation from somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
This is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing and it's going to yeah. be cool.
That's awesome. So a couple of years of you're doing things that you've never done before, dealing with an architect, dealing with facade grants, dealing with all these kind of things. Anything go horribly right or wrong during those 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the answer. Yes. Yeah. I mean, so many things, like small and big. I know the top floor got taken off. Via miscommunication.
Oh, so the second floor.
Yeah, it's the second floor got demoed.
Neat.
Totally down to the studs. The studs too. I mean, the whole thing was done. So that was a big setback for us. But I mean, it was like, you know, just a few months. It was more time than anything. So
it was a lot of strain on time. Really wanting to get it done, right. you know, for all kinds of reasons. And a lot of strain on budget. Just no project like this goes according to budget. We kind of learned that we have a really good cop, bad cop dynamic. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to guess who's who?
I don't know.
Yeah, guess. Because we've never been mad at you.
I'm kind of scared, so I'll know. If I could, please tell me that Sean's bad cop.
I'm bad cop.
That would be hilarious.
I wish he was bad cop, but I have to be bad cop. Like, he really can't do it.
I hate conflict. I can't do it.
I didn't used to be able to, and I think this was really the thing that pushed me into, which is a really good lesson. You know, if I feel like someone isn't, you know, delivering on the things that they said or isn't shooting me straight, I really learned that I have this like badass ability to just sort of like get into it with them. And I like that. I think it's a good skill.
And you wouldn't have, again, it's one of those things that you wouldn't necessarily have known.
No, I didn't know that before. Yeah. I tend to be a pretty nice person, I think. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, for sure. 100%.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, all right. So we've taken the abandoned Scuba Center and we've built what will become, you know, the Central Collective. And I mean, I have to, you know, applaud you guys just for the patience that you have to deal with each other, with all these new experiences, with all these new people, and things that you're having to learn on the fly. I mean, if to anybody out there who's like bought a refrigerator with their wife, or like, you know, remodeled a kitchen, you know, or with their significant other, excuse me, right. You know how stressful that can be. You know, yeah. Much less, you know, the scale that you guys kind of got to here, which I just think is awesome.
You know, like, shockingly, we never got on each other ever about it. I mean, I think it really was a great testament to our marriage. I feel like we never got mad at each other. It was always kind of us against whatever we were dealing with
good
at the time.
Good cop and bad
cop. Yeah, exactly. Phase in the world.
It was like extreme team building.
It really was. Yeah, I mean, it could have gone the other way, but it didn't.
Yeah. It was just a 2-year-long trust fall.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, so now you guys have opened up. How long have you guys had the space open now?
We opened October of 2015, so... year and a half-ish.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about some of the events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So every month, you've got a good sport night.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just, other people can rent the place out.
Yeah,
we do
private
events. You
guys
always have a first Friday.
We always have a first Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Over the past, you know, since 15, so a year and a half, what are some of the highlights that you guys have? We've already talked about a wedding. Yeah. A good sport wedding, which is pretty crazy. What are some of the other highlights that you guys have experienced here?
I like our dinners probably the most. Just, you know, chefs will come in here and do a restaurant for a night, basically. And usually we'll come and eat with them, and it's they're all so different, and the food's amazing, and people, you know, my favorite part really is people come together and like meeting people and making friends, and you know, you see it all the time, like especially over food. I mean, people come here and they eat together and they talk and they kind of wind up being buddies, and they come to other stuff together sometimes. And I mean, it's just cool to see people connecting and, you know, meeting new folks here.
We were just talking to someone the other day that said, you know, now some of their best friends, they met at Good Sport Night, and mm-hmm. they're all this like crew now. So that's just really cool to hear that, you know, people who might not otherwise have met come here and, you know, one, feel comfortable enough to make friends, but, you know, then that those friendships sort of last. So that's really cool. Another event that I loved was we did a screening of a film that Square made about Yassine's Falafel House. And so we screened that film, which is really, really beautiful. If you Google Square and Yassine, you can find it. It's just about him coming to America and starting this business. And so he did a lunch for us. We did a screening. And then he had decided that he wanted to donate proceeds from the evening to the Knoxville Mercury's Press Forward Initiative. And what that is I think a monthly or, I don't know, it's a series that highlights people doing cool things in Knoxville. And, you know, he had just done this big fundraiser for Bridge Refugee Services. And I said, do you want to do a fundraiser for that? And he said, you know, that's really important, and I wanted to raise money for that, but I also want to show people that I'm part of this community, too, not just as an immigrant, but as someone who's in Knoxville and, you know, really cares about what's happening in Knoxville. And it was just such a pleasure to work with him. He's such a cool guy, and the food was so good. So that was a really great event. I had a great time.
Yeah.
And we got leftovers, which
yes.
Awesome.
Leftovers.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, it sounds like if it's, I mean, if it's a good sport night, if it is a dinner, if it is a special, you know, screening, like the Yassine's, the falafel, that's when Jack Dorsey from Twitter, you know, came to his place and they talked. Like, that's a big deal. It's yeah. really cool. Mm-hmm. But what I hear, you know, that has happened over the past 18 months is essentially community.
Yeah.
Community, like, actively engaging and building a community. Here around, you know, maybe this is sort of like the classic idea of the third space, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where you go to gather that's not your house, it's not your work,
mm-hmm.
But a place that people can come together from, you know, all walks of life. Because if I'm, you know, people can buy tickets, you don't know who's coming.
Right.
Right.
You don't know. Oh, like, tell me about the dinners. So what kind of food? I mean, different every time?
Yeah, it's always different. We have a couple that come up or come down from West Virginia once every 2 months, and they have a farm up there, and they do a lot of foraging. So they do farm and forage dinners. That's really great. And then we have a guy that is a chef at Crown and Goose who does, like, micro-gastronomy. Is that what it's called? What's it called?
Molecular gastronomy.
Yeah, molecular.
He's they're called Rebel Kitchen. He and his wife, it's Paul Sellis and his wife, run it, and it's so cool. They will just find the weirdest ways to plate stuff and
they use like liquid nitrogen to freeze things and break them, and it's
tons
weird.
Of like tiny little baby vegetables.
Yeah, like the craziest, like weirdest stuff. And it's great. It's all delicious.
And you know, we've had a dinner where we had like traditional Jamaican food. And it was, you know, not fancily plated or anything, like served buffet style. Like, we're open to mm-hmm. good food. That's our only requirement, is that it's good.
Yeah. And speaking of the community part, I mean, you know, I don't want to get too political, but, like, I think, for me at least, now more than ever, it just feels good to be around people that are nice and, you know, you don't need to talk about everything. You can just get together and
You
can break bread, yeah. And you can share a common experience, and you can kind of, you know, find common ground in action more than words or ideas, you know.
Yeah, and I've been pretty surprised, especially at Good Sport Night, at the just diversity of people who come. I mean, in terms of really everything. Like, mm-hmm. it's been pretty cool to see people, like, totally different ages, totally different, like, places in life, you know, people who make a lot of money, people who don't make a lot of money, kind of all just gathered around this one activity. That sort of surprised me. I was worried that Good Sport Night would just be people like me and John, you know, middle-class white people in their 30s or early 40s.
30s. That's right. In their 30s. No big deal, guys. Just two people in our 30s.
Just hanging out.
Great, hanging out.
Give this guy
enjoying
a
life.
Everything's fine.
But that's been a pretty cool surprise, you know. I think it was what we hoped for, but not, you know, we were kind of worried that that wouldn't be the case.
Right.
And it has, which is cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really incredible. So different communities coming together in this sort of third place,
mm-hmm.
Experiencing probably, regardless of where they came from, maybe experiencing something for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also not just people we know, which I was, we were like, are we going to open this whole business whose model is like our friends pay us to hang out? Because that's not going to work. Our friends don't like us that much.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been true, which right. is, again, great.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Well, that's awesome.
Nor should it.
Nor should it. Yeah.
I don't know. You guys are pretty cool.
Would you pay?
Well, thank you. Oh, actually, I was going to ask you guys to give
we'll
us 10
invoice
bucks
for you guys. Yeah.
it's not. We're not paying for being here. It's for parking.
Yeah.
There is a parking lot out front. Who's worried about it? Well, all right. So we've kind of taken, you know, sort of a journey of where you guys came from. Dale from Chicago, from fried pies. Or to following Sean to fried pies, mm-hmm. Sean from the deep hills of Kentucky, to here
to your first pair of shoes,
to your last.
Yeah, and being here and just having soap for the first time was really awesome. I really enjoy that. You know,
it's the living
shoes and
the
soap
living conditions. But I think it's really interesting to see all of that and to see you guys come together as you did. Creatively and sort of community driven, bringing so many people together with the Central Collective. I just think it's a really cool thing. So we've covered what has been. So what's next?
Ooh,
good question.
Oh,
good question. Well, I mean, from my perspective, what we're doing, on one hand, kind of the same. On the other hand,
Totally different.
I mean, I think our model is working pretty well in terms of, you know, our private events are kind of the main source of income, honestly. Those are the things that tends to make us more money, when someone just rents out the space as a venue for their events.
And really quick,
mm-hmm.
so to how many... Let's get down to the, you know, the brass
okay.
tacks, as they say.
Yeah.
So it's a super cool space. You'll see some photos of it on our, in the show notes.
Okay.
Here for the blog. But how many people can you fit in this?
You know, I tend to say that it's comfortable for up to 75 people to be in here at one time.
Feels right.
There's also a rooftop deck, though. So if it's a nice day and people are kind of going up and down between the deck, you know, probably... Mm-hmm. Closer to 100 people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, you guys can check out pictures and info in our show notes, but then you can also go to...
TheCentralCollective.com.
Say that again.
TheCentralCollective.com.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Just for the you know, just for people to know to kind of come in and figure out what you guys have to offer there. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of... Using that as supplemental income and then doing, like I said, a mixture of stuff that we're programming. You know, a lot of that is series, like the First Friday series, Good Sports series, and then the pop-up dinners. And then just being open. I mean, the totally different part is we don't know what people are going to come to us with. So that's the part that we can't really plan. It tends to just be someone saying, hey, I am a master origamiist, and I... Ooh, I actually would love to do origami lessons.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Or I'm a fire dancer, and I just met this origami person at Good Sport Night, and we want to do an origami fire
Probably
show.
Not the best combo.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like an indoor Burning Man.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I think it'll kind of always be changing, because there's always a part of it that's just, you know, based on the ideas of the people who approach us.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to be in the good sports, too.
Exactly. We try to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about the future?
I think it's all right. I think that's
it is. You got a ping pong table, so a lot of ping pong.
Way more ping pong now than ever. It helps having a table for ping pong, to play ping pong.
It's literally twice as much ping pong.
Yeah, at least. Minimum. But yeah, I mean, I think Dale's right. Just, you know, whatever folks want to do, that's gonna shape what it's going to be.
We have a few ideas for some series that, I don't know, should I talk about them?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
New ideas just that we're thinking about launching.
Yeah.
We've thought about doing a good sport overnight. I don't know if that would be a monthly thing, but where you're actually going somewhere and sleep, maybe here, maybe somewhere else, but it's a sleepover. I don't know about liability with that. We're going to have to figure some things out. That's an idea we've had. We also will probably, within the next 12 months, be launching something called Limited Editions, where every month we have a limited edition of something. So let's say it's a vase, you know, by a local ceramicist, and there's only literally one. The next month it'll be two. So we do... Does that make sense? Am I explaining
like
it?
Yeah, a different artist every month.
A different artist every month, and each month it'll be a new number of editions. So 1, 2, 3, 4, in that order.
Well, it goes in order.
And it'll go up
to... Or jump around some. Like, will the first month be 1, and the second month be 4?
Nope, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Just like that.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we'll just keep... I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll just keep pushing it until we're making a million things each time. We'd have to live for a very long time to get there.
Well, if you double it every month. You know, pretty soon.
Exponentially.
Yeah.
Something like that. The idea being that a way to kind of highlight a lot of the people whose work we know and love, and just sort of highlight that.
That's great.
So that's coming up. That's all I can think of as far as new, like, initiatives that we're launching.
Big stuff. Well, I want to say thanks to Dale Mackey and Sean Pointer. Again, Dale's Fried Pies, Sean Pointer Photography, and the proud purveyors of the Central Collective, where it's just, again, really proud to have this in our community, to see it bring so many different people together, and to see it be such an active part of Knoxville as it grows itself. It's pretty cool. Well, I am Chris McAdoo with Best Behavior. George Middlebrooks has been producing this bad boy, and we are glad to have you guys with us on podcast number 2. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You can't see it listening, but Sean's silently weeping by how moving that was. So thank you for bringing him to tears.
It happens all the time.
Internal weeping.
We really appreciate you having us here.
I do love internal weeping.
Okay, bye.
BestBehavior.com